There we go. Okay. So, guys, today we are going to cover...
Clown world is peaked today, let me tell you.
It's peaked and it's clowny and it's really interesting. And one of the first topics that we're going to cover is how OnlyFans models, we have to be proper and political and nice here. It's not X where we can call women...
names that we can't say.
304s. and so these OnlyFans chicks are basically using a legal loophole on Instagram to show their titties to the world and use these fake babies, which are very realistic. They're like $1,000 babies that they make, like legit even move like a child. They're using that and able to show their breasts to obviously get subscribers. We are also going to discuss the latest controversy on right-wing Twitter, or what I like to call the American Taliban. Give it up for the American Taliban, who want us in burqas and praying all day and just being incubators and never getting an education, because who the fuck needs an education? We're going to discuss the latest controversy on right-wing Twitter and why the men are losing their mind over a group of white chicks dancing in Louisiana during Mardi Gras. I guess no one's ever been to Mardi Gras. I've been to Mardi Gras one. I'll never go back. I actually thought it was very trashy, but I'm not a hater, so I don't really
care. I've never been to Mardi Gras. I've been to Louisiana a bunch of times, but...
It's not what they make it seem, honestly. I guess it's not all that. It ain't all that.
Just another reason for the right to be mad again today, like they are every single week. Slowly becoming the most insufferable of groups.
So there's that, and we are going to discuss how over 68% of Gen Z... actually supports Trump, and many of them are defying their parents. Their parents are Gen X, sometimes even elder. No, they wouldn't be elder millennials. They'd be Gen X, some Gen X, right?
Gen X, I guess some elder millennials.
Some elder millennials.
Some elder millennials could be if they started young enough. They're defying
their very liberal parents and supporting Trump. And a lot of it actually has to do with TikTok. You guys know my favorite subject. I've been telling people for months, especially conservatives, to stop demonizing TikTok, to stop trying to get TikTok banned. I actually was the first person to say, hello. I can't say the R word. I can't say something weird. I was gonna say,
don't do it. Don't do it.
So frustrating. Hello, imbeciles. don't ban TikTok. Like, no, like, seriously. And what was your final topic? Oh, Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy, once again, is in the news. And Puff Daddy has been accused for the third or fourth time of...
This year alone.
No,
he has a much longer history. We're only talking about what he's gotten himself into this year.
Well, only the legal cases. And it really all started with Cassie, his ex-girlfriend, who... had a very damaging lawsuit that was solved, or they came to an agreement within like a day. A settlement within a day behind closed doors. So we're going to talk about that as well. And so, yeah, so let's get started with the craziest headline that I saw. I actually thought this was an AI like type of made up news when I saw it on Twitter at first, because you know they do a lot of that, and I was like, okay, here we go, the manosphere again, the red pillars again, once again lying about women. We get it, they're hoes, but I don't actually believe that this is what's going on, but it is what's going on. So we're going to show you the article right now.
All right.
And so here it is. Instagram OnlyFans breastfeeding loophole exposed in photos. So basically, one of the terms of services that Instagram has is that if you are a trans person, you're actually like from female to male, right? You're able to show your chest because you're transgender and you have special privileges than the rest of us don't have. Similarly to that, there's a loophole in the terms of services that if you are breastfeeding, you are a mother, you're actually also able to show yourself breastfeeding because it's very natural and that's how you feed your babies. Somehow, some way, one of these wonderful and lovely women of the night of OnlyFans figured out that if she bought one of these very expensive babies, by the way, making or getting some of these babies. So look at the chick. You could see her like.
I want to make sure we don't get taken
right
off.
There, just completely. So yeah, that's not a real baby. That's a fake baby that costs a lot of money. And obviously, we're not going to play you the videos because we'll be banned from this app if we were to play you the videos of these chicks. But, you know, this goes into a bigger problem. And I guess, in a way, as you guys know, we're very anti the current women hate that's going on the internet by right-wing men. I wouldn't say all conservatives. I would say red pill that's spilled into right-wing politics. People like at the Whatever podcast, somebody mentioned Brian. Do I have beef with Brian? No, I don't. I just don't like the podcast at all. I don't know Brian at all. I don't know if he's a good person or a bad person. I'm just don't really appreciate the podcast. I think that both Fresh and Fit and the Whatever podcast.
I think
podcast,
that more importantly, the podcast in itself doesn't bother me. It's the blending into conservative politics that does. Because I'm an activist before I'm anything else. I've been a political influencer, and that's where Linda and my background come from. And when you start having on individuals that represent MAGA, that represent the Republican Party, going on these podcasts and creating situations where they alienate female voters by creating the idea or perpetuating the idea by platforming these shows that all women are only fans, girls, or women of that caliber, what it does is that it alienates women from wanting to vote Republican or MAGA at a time where the independent and moderate vote is very independent. So I could care less about the podcast. I could care less that the ideology exists. In fact, I'm very well aware that it's been around for quite some time. One of my best friends has been a Rollo Tomasi fan for over 20 years.
Really?
So, yeah. So I know that it's been around for quite some time. I could care less that it's around. My bigger problem and the big concern and why we even bother to talk about it is because it's 2024. It's an election season. The truth is that the Manosphere went mainstream after the overturning of Roe v. Wade with Andrew Tate. And it's concerning that Andrew Tate has CIA ties. At least for me personally, I can see part of a bigger potential operation to alienate a female vote, which is the main vote being targeted by Democrats at this time.
Yeah.
And also the vote that predominantly shows up to vote. Because, you know, men constantly want to have the conversation about revoking a woman's right to vote. But very little do we hear about the fact that men just don't show up to vote. It's not that women have a supermajority. It's just that men don't show up and women do. So when I see any kind of operation that seems to come out of nowhere, when all of a sudden I can't even watch a regular influencer get ready or bake something without there being comments about you're so old and you hit the wall and I bet that you have lots of bodies. Yeah, when you hear it, Linda, what did we call it? It's its own dialect.
You're right. It's like a man dialect. And honestly, like, look, I'll be honest with you guys. I will always tell, like, I'm a millennial, I'm in my 30s, and I will always tell women, younger women, to remain pure, to not sleep around, and these words will never come out of my mouth. Like, I'll never be like, in your 20s you should, you know, have sex with all these men and like later on, like, you know, just settle for whatever men. Like, no, to me it's like there's a lot of I wouldn't say side effects, but how do you say, like, there's a lot of repercussions to, like, sleeping around?
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
a lot of, is that, would you say repercussions?
Repercussions, no. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a lot of negative effects of sleeping around, right? Or being promiscuous, or being too out there when you're young. And a lot of women don't think that way, and I agree with that. The other day, I actually saw, if you guys remember, maybe if you're our age, there used to be this show called The Girls Next Door with Hugh Hefner, rest in peace, Hugh Hefner. And I don't know why I said that. I don't really care if he's in peace, but whatever.
I want to stop a second to address that Adam just dropped a super chat in the chat letting us know for $200. Aww. Thank you, Adam, for helping us keep our little show alive and being able to bring you guys the news. And he says, hey, ladies, here's my tribute. I wanted to announce last year Reina reached out to me to be a mentor to her, and we have become good friends since. We finally met in person today, and we are having an MPL watch party. Thank you for creating a community for us to support each other.
Wow.
Yo, don't make me cry on live. Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you also
to Don Chorizo
for his contribution.
And also to Erica. Adam, that made me so happy.
Thank you so much, and Reina.
Reina, thank you guys so much. We love you guys, and thank you for supporting us and helping us keep the podcast going.
Thank you so much.
Sorry,
you
guys I had to address that as soon as it came up, guys. Thank you so much.
So I was saying about women sleeping around, I would never say that. Like, you know, a lot of my friends, I
encourage that in any capacity.
But it is really disappointing. Not disappointing, but it is really disgusting, I guess, when you go on social media. Like today I was going back and forth with this guy that is like, I'm going to the Philippines to like go get my trad virgin wife or whatever. And I was like, I was giving him a hard time because he's a Nick Fuentes fan. If you guys know who Nick Fuentes is, he's a very controversial streamer, talks a lot about the white race and, you know, white nationalist politics, blah, 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 blah. And I was giving him shit because I'm like, well, aren't you a Nick Fuentes follower? Shouldn't you be more concerned about preserving the white race? Shouldn't you be trying to marry a white woman so that you can have white children, right? Like, I'm giving him like a hard time,
right?
And he's like so mad, like he's like so mad, and he's like, you're just mad because we don't want, like, and you know, he's going into like this whole rant, like really nasty degenerate terminology, roast beef, P-U-S-S-Y, and like flappy vagina lips, and you ran through, and like you lost your virginity to your uncle at 12. I mean, like, all this degenerate, and it really goes to show you that it's a lot of porn brain and projection. Like, I was talking to Anthony before coming here, and I said, I'm not on my daily basis thinking about sex. Like, if you're not a sexual degenerate person who's watching porn, who's consuming all this stuff, porn,
TikTok, yeah.
You're not going to be thinking about that. Like, you're not going to be thinking about all this disgusting stuff. Like, these are, when this comes out of you, it just, to me, the first thing I think about is this person watches a lot of porn.
Right, this is the person that's like spending excessive amounts of time engaging in this because that's where your brain automatically goes.
So, my problem with podcasts like that is not necessarily that I have a problem with the men of Fresh and Fit or the whatever podcast, is that they purposely obviously bring all these chicks and then they say, this is the modern day woman. The modern day woman is an OnlyFans setting her body. The modern day woman is a dumb person that can't name three countries. The modern day woman has over 50 partners before the age of 25. The modern day woman wants to have a bunch of schmorschmorschens. I don't know if I could say that. The modern day women, this. And that's what I have a problem with, that, because you're painting an entire group of women, our entire gender, as such, right? And it's kind of like the flip side of all men are trash, right? Wasn't that a thing that feminists say?
Yeah, absolutely.
All men are trash.
All men are bad.
Like, you know,
it's an it's an ideology that, you know, The Manosphere RP, as it stands today, is a space that consistently talks about the damages of feminism. And right. I think that if you go back actually to some of our old content, like, we've actually discussed like the psyop of feminism, and we agree it was an attack on the nuclear family. We couldn't agree more. But we're also watching a different kind of attack in the nuclear family take place now through the RP, where it's attacking men. And for me personally, because I do acknowledge that men are the stronger gender, because I do acknowledge that men build societies, because I do acknowledge that men are in fact leaders, it's more worrisome for me to see men targeted by a psyop that pushes them away from creating families, from building families, that pushes them into this ideology of just hedonism to some extreme, right? Because it's just like sleep around, and it's just for the pleasure of being with as many women as possible, while losing the fabric of what's supposed to hold a good society together, which is that in order for a kid to grow up with good morals, you need a mom and a dad. And if every guy is out there screwing 50 women, undoubtedly what's going to happen is that you're breaking up the nuclear family. And to me, I don't see any difference than feminism, other than the fact that it's probably even more damaging to steer little boys or men away from the idea of the nuclear family. Right. Like, that seems like the more...
And also, just being very black-pilled, which is that, you know, everything is bad, you know, society is failing because of women and this and this and that. And it's just like, do you really think that successful, rich people are doing this? Like, that's always how you have to think, right? Like, if I talk to... And I do. I have friends who have a lot of money. Like, they're very successful. Nowhere near where I'm at. I'm like here and they're here. Mm-hmm. And when I have conversations with these people and I like either drop a commentary on what's going on in the digital world or whatnot, like they're completely immune to all this stuff because they're so focused on either their family or their businesses or their job or travels. Like it's just like they're not focused on all this stuff online. It's like I told a guy today, he's like, well, you know, like you guys, and I said, you know, you're talking about a married woman. Like, you're out here saying that this woman is sleeping around and she has a body count and that her, I don't even want to say, private parts are like roast beef. And I said, you're talking about a married woman. Like, one of us is married and you have absolutely no respect for people like that. And what it does, like, for you to say, oh, go do your OnlyFans or, like, go sleep around, like, what this does... For younger women reading that, and I saw a comment like that. So younger women said, I have a very low body count. I don't sleep around. I don't club. I don't have any piercings. I don't have tattoos. I screenshotted it. I should have put it up. And she said, but it makes no sense to me to even do any of this when I'm street treated like shit on the internet by all these men.
You're still who judged just no matter what.
Are judging me, and they don't even know who I am. So
which that, we see. And it's, you know, when you see stories... Like the one that we just covered, again, I think we can all agree that this is bad for society.
Right. Like these are clearly like 304s. Like these are like...
This is bad.
Bad. Like this is horrible. Only
fangirls using fake babies to get away, to get through Instagram's nudity policy is in fact a disgusting thing. As women, we don't want to be represented by that. But we also got to keep in mind that OnlyFans girls only make up, you know, less than 2% of the population. And within that 2%, only a small majority of them are engaging in this kind of behavior.
Right.
So can we say we reject this kind of behavior without it applying to all women? The same way that we can reject certain behaviors in men without having it apply to all men.
You know, it's like I saw a headline today. I posted it in my story, if you guys saw, of a father in, I forgot the state right now. But basically, he was feeding benzos on a smoothie to his daughter's friend, obviously with a purpose to take advantage of them. And the way that he got caught was because one of the girls, I guess, either she didn't drink the smoothie or it didn't hit her as much as the other girls. And in between sleep, when the guy was walking into the room, she felt very uncomfortable and texted her parents at 2 a.m. saying, please come pick me up. You know, I'm very scared. And the guy's like, the father's like in her room being creepy. The parents called the other parents of the other girls. They all showed up. They all picked up the girls. They took the girls for testing to the hospital. Turns out the girls were drugged by that father. Now, you know, should we take instances like that and say that all fathers and men are rapists or trying to take advantage of their children's daughters? Like, absolutely not. That's just simply not the case. But they do it for women, you know, and you see a lot more now. Like, I saw what's her name, Liz Wheeler, who's a pretty big conservative commentator. She was posting, she posted today about the Red Pill. And I saw this other girl, Amala. She used to be, she's the mixed girl that used to do PragerU. She was talking about the Red Pill as well. So there's all these women who are now, you know, talking about what we've been saying for the last year, really, and warning people about. And our whole thing is that this is a psyop before the 2020 election. Now, what happened? 2024 election.
It's been 4 years since the traumatic 2020 election.
Guys, don't forget really quick to like the stream, please, if you can. If you want to share it as well, We've been in this like weird algorithm since we got attacked by the frogs the other day. And it's been just kind of like weird all around on YouTube. So we'd appreciate it if you could like the video and help us out with that. And obviously, here we are. We're also shadow banned on Twitter. If you guys don't know that, if you try to search us, MPL Podcast 305, you can't find it. So just try to look for it through comments or something. But moving on, with that being said, and I guess it relates to that, is there was a video on X of these girls at Mardi Gras, these white chicks at Mardi Gras, which Bella is going to show you guys. And a very, what I consider to be a very innocent video. Now, I was in a sorority in college, and I want to give you guys my perspective of what it's like to be in Greek life, which I thought has obviously pros and cons. This is the video. You know, these chicks are dancing. People were asking, why are they in a parking lot? Well, I'll tell you why they're in a parking lot, because when you're a Mardi Gras, I've been to Mardi Gras, you'll like walk throughout the city. So like you could see the parade and like different like points, right? Some of them being gas stations, some of them being like, you could be at a park, you could be on top of like, I'm sure you guys have seen the people in the buildings. And so obviously young girls, I'd say anywhere from 18 to 22 years old, they're all part of a sorority at LSU, I'm guessing. This is a coordinated dance, their cute little matching outfits. Like, this is what Mardi Gras is all about. Like, this is it.
It's, you know, and it's what I was telling Linda. Not only Mardi Gras, this is what girlhood is about.
Right.
You coordinate dances most of your life together. You coordinate with your friends. You want to dress the same. You want to be cute. You want to go to the party. This is actually pretty normal and standard. And like Linda has mentioned, there's probably nothing more traditional American than Greek life.
Yeah. So I went back to see, and I was part of Phi Sigma Sigma at FIU, and it goes back to 1913. We used to be friends with Sigeps, Sigma, whatever, I don't know, whatever, the Sigeps or another big. My ex-boyfriend's a Pike, Pi Kappa Alpha. All of my friends are Pikes. Pi goes back actually to 1818. That's when they were founded. The first and oldest fraternity, I forgot the name right now, but I looked it up, and it goes back to the 1700s. There's nothing more part of the Americana brand, I'd say, than fraternities and sororities. And the thing about fraternities and sororities is that you usually join them to network, to build brotherhood, to build sisterhood, to build relationships. There's like, for example, I told her, I was telling Bella, I'm like, Tim McGraw is like one of the famous Pikes. Like if you type famous Pikes, famous Pi Kappa Alpha brothers, you're going to see all these famous people that you'll recognize. And so, you know, the same thing with like sororities. And there's a lot of strict rules within Greek life, right? Including how you look, how you present yourself, how you carry yourself with women. They want you to be ladies. Like I was telling Bella that there was like certain rules in sororities at FIU where you couldn't even, they tell you like, we never want to see you at a party on top of a man. Like you're it's not that you're not allowed to, but you represent our sorority. So we don't like sitting on top of a man is unladylike. So don't do that. Like making out with a guy in front of people, getting too drunk. Like we used to get in trouble for drinking. Like these were things that our sorority was really strict about. Like if you were a whore, they did not like that. Like you were a representative of the sorority. So like close your legs. No, don't be part of it. If you look sloppy, like it was like a thing, like you always have to be presentable. We'd wear our jerseys on Thursdays, which was, it was like, you know, like the letter shirts. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. That's called a jersey. We'd wear our jerseys on Thursdays and we'd have chapter and we'd go out with our friends and we had mixers with fraternities and so on and so forth. And so if anything, I'd say that, you know, having... I mean, I wouldn't care if my daughter joins a fraternity, honestly, a sorority or not. I wouldn't care if she goes to college at all. But if anything, I would say that fraternities and sororities are one of the last standing institutions inside of, you know, very woke colleges who are still traditional and who will keep the order in terms of how you look, how you present yourself, how you carry yourself, the relationships that you build. I have a funny story. 2 years ago, we met this beautiful Russian girl. She's a patriot. She is a very America First girl. We met her because we went out to dinner with Tommy Vax, right? This is, I mean, one of the most beautiful women. Would you agree that she's one of the most beautiful women?
One of the most stunning women, right?
One of the most stunning women that you ever see, this Russian girl. She's super tall, dark hair, blue eyes, just beautiful face. And I'm like, I know you. Like, I know who you are. Like, I've met you before. Well, it turns out that when I turned 21 years old and I went to Vegas for the first time with my friend, we were hanging out at Nikki Beach in Las Vegas. And it was me and my friends. Again, I come from the Greek life, and all of my friends, all of my guy friends that were there were Pikes, Pi Kappa Alpha. One of my friends has a tattoo of the Pike logo in the back. And we are drinking, we're having fun, and all of a sudden, this man with the Russian, right, approached my friend and he said, hey, I'm a Pike, you're a Pike. And he's like, yes. Anyways, it ended up being the owner of Dinky Beach and ended up buying us drinks the entire time, and we were just having fun for free. And I met her just coincidentally. Like, I don't know if you said read me, but I reconnected with her now through, like, politics over 10 years later. So it's like, you know, it's things like that that make Greek life, like, I don't know, I guess you'd say cool. I wouldn't say it's nerds. They're not nerds. Somebody said they're nerds. It's no.
Somebody I wouldn't said say they were nerds or cringe or whatever. I think that what's cringe is just not letting young women be women, like not letting young girls just like dance and be themselves. And then it's like, I love how they try and gaslight. It's like, oh, well, it's not because they're dancing. It's because of the music that they're dancing to. It's black music. Right. Yeah.
There was a lot of racist. There was a lot of racist people.
And it's like, first of all, it's Louisiana. Like, every yeah, they're like Bayou. Right.
Yeah. Like, if you're from Louisiana, you're going to have black culture embedded into your culture. Like, I promise you that the Florida rednecks are no better than that. Like I posted a video when I was in hanging out with white people in Jenny Springs. I had to run away from Miami just so I could have some sense of normalcy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, white people just don't care. They were not going to shut down. They spent 4th of July celebrating, throwing fireworks with each other. There was no mask mandates. There was no closures. There was nothing happening in Gainesville and Jenny Springs. Well, not Gainesville was cringe because they're very Democrat, but Jenny Springs is not. And that's why we went there. We're like, all right, we're going to go hang out with the rednecks and the white people, because what else are we supposed to do? We're not going to stay with a super hypochondriac Latinos in Miami that were just masked up and fucking weirdos.
I guess, to me, it's like, what's triggering men to act this way? Like, what could possibly...
Well, actually, somebody brought up the Whatever podcast, and
so
Chase,
disturbing.
Chase from the Whatever podcast had something to say. He said, well, it's not so much of the dance. It's that I know these girls are going to, they're going to spend their 20s. They're going to spend their 20s going to Cavo to get to lay the pipe or to get piped instead of raising children. And it's like, why is it that the mind of these men always goes to, like, sex? Like, it's so weird to me. And I guess it's, like, a man thing versus a woman thing. But, like, if you're constantly thinking of other men's penis and, like, it's just so weird to me. It's, like, so homo. It's so disturbing
I was talking to Linda about it. Like, we grew up in Miami.
Yeah.
I've lived in Miami my entire life. You know, like, in Miami, you start going to, like, all ages clubs when you're, like, 14, 15 years old, where they serve, like, juice, and you can, like, dance, and you're home. Like, the club closes by midnight, but, like, it's what you do. Like, it's just, it's the normal culture out here. The majority of the people that I know are married.
Right.
And the majority of the married people that I know met partying. They met taking shots together, being fun together. They were out on the boat. They were out at the clubs, you know, and they've got stories, and they'll remember, and they'll pull up, like, their old, like, club pictures. Like, oh, they remember when we were, like, in Oxygen, or when we were, like, yeah, a mansion or whatever. It's like, it's the standard. So this idea that because young people party, like, what do you think? That girls are partying by themselves with these dudes, and that, like, those dudes aren't falling in love with them, and that they're not getting married?
Well, that's
that
the argument.
That they're right. not meeting in Cabo, right. and that they're not falling in love, and that they're not dating after that and getting married and having babies. It's like this idea that women are just trying to, it's so unrealistic. It's so unrealistic.
One of the comments.
First of all, can I just say something that's like very obvious that they don't like to talk about? They think that because they could go and they see one or three, you know, sex workers on the internet talking about how they sleep with different men all the time. The way that our body parts are built, there's only so much that we can do. Like, you guys are probably a lot more capable. Like, you will literally go raw. Like, your body can literally only take. So this, like, idea that women are constantly thinking about it, biologically, it's just, it doesn't work that way. The body doesn't work that way.
Right.
I have to say that.
Well, one of the things that they were discussing was that men don't want this. They want a quiet woman, a meek woman, a woman that has humanity. And they go into this whole thing and it's like, there are 7 billion people in all this, billion people on this planet. There's 320 million people in the U.S. You're not going to be the voice for every single man, and we're not going to be the voice for every single woman. There's men out there like Adam22 who found their partner with Lena, a porn star. Whether that works out or not, we'll see. We don't know that. In 5 years, they could literally be Christ-filled and turn to Christ and completely change their ways. There's men that, you know, they absolutely love women with tattoos, whereas you may say that tattoos are disturbing and disgusting and whatever it may be. There's men out there who are in polygamous relationships with two or three different women, and the women are okay with that. There's, like, in Colombia, we have a saying, pa los gustos, los colores. Like, there's different, escoger las flores. Like, there's different types of colors in the rainbow for you to pick from. So this idea that who are these girls going to marry? They're just going to have sex with Chad and Tyrone. That's what they were saying, and blah, 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 blah. Look around them. The people that they're going to marry are going to be those frat boys that are around them. How do I know that? Because that's what my friends did. My boyfriend and I didn't work out. My fraternity boyfriend and I, we just didn't. We stayed together after college, and we didn't work out. But 90% of the people that I know from college that were in a fraternity and sorority ended up together, and now they're parents. That's what happened. Like, a lot of the women lost their virginity. Is that your phone?
Oh, is that me?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, mute it.
You know, a lot of the women that I know actually lost, I mean, I don't have to tell their business, but, like, they lost their virginity to those men. So this idea that just because you're dancing a Mardi Gras, you're just going to be popping your vagina all over the world, it's just simply not true. The same way that they say, you know, if a woman's well-traveled, then that means that she's sleeping around or she's going to, you know, travel for men.
They've really just, like,
that's just simply not true either.
They villainize everything that women can do. Like,
yeah,
I travel with my friends all the time. In fact, I even used to travel for work, which they seem to have a really bad, and you know what I did? I would stay in my hotel room all the time. Yep. Like, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. Yep. I went straight from work to my hotel room and order room service and watch Netflix. And that was my life. And, you know, this idea that women go out there, like, no, they don't. The average woman doesn't do that. You're not going to be in a foreign country meeting up and hooking up with random strangers, going to random places that you do not know, putting yourself in situations like Taken, where now, like, your father has to, like, go to another country and, like, try to go rescue you or something like that. Like, the average person, really, the average woman, I promise you, is that level of paranoid about potentially getting attacked, being sex trafficked, a series of things where I promise you the norm isn't like, oh, I'm so glad that I'm here in Germany. I can't wait to smash a new dude every night. Like, it's just, it's not realistic. You know, the tattoo thing, every time they say that, I find it so ironic because I didn't have any tattoos until after I got married.
But does your husband have tattoos?
Yeah, my husband's covered in tattoos, and it was my husband who wanted me to get my tattoo.
Right. But that's why I'm saying, like, pa los gustos los colores. There's some men that don't like that at all. And there's couples that literally get tatted up together. Like, so it's a matter, like, you can't speak for all men and be like, oh, well, then no one's ever going to want them. And, you know, this actually goes into our conversation about how Gen Z approves of Trump more than any other demographic. Is that what the article says?
More than any other demographic.
Any other demographic. And I'm going to break down why that is, right? And I know some of you follow me on Instagram and some of you follow me on Twitter. And I think I've discussed this more on Instagram than Twitter. Just because I was trying to convince other conservative commentators and influencers and legislators to stop trying to ban TikTok because of this, right? Gen Z loves Donald Trump more than any other age group. And why is that? I'm going to tell you guys why. When these children, now they're probably a teenager and young adult. When these young adults were 8 years ago, they were children. They were 12 years old. They were 13 years old. They were 16 years old. They couldn't even vote. And we didn't really have TikTok until 2020, right? And so they didn't really know anybody about Donald Trump. I'm in my 30s. So I've known Trump since I was young. I've known Trump as being the guy that says you're fired. Everybody knows his brand.
Right.
Everybody knows that he has like 400 hip hop songs. But this generation had no idea who Trump was until what happened. Until clips of Trump started going viral on TikTok and they're saying, wait a minute, you know, this guy's not that bad. He's actually really freaking funny. Like, he's so funny. Like, he's, you know, there was a whole trend a few months ago of Donald Trump is our favorite comedian. Mm-hmm. And you had all these Gen Z kids doing voiceovers. And I remember telling you, I said, dude, this, there's so many of these kids that are going to end up just liking Trump because it's like he's a funny man and they had never seen him in this light. And the only thing that they heard from their parents, their millennial, elder millennial parents or their Gen X parents was Donald Trump is a bad guy. Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. But now they're seeing for themselves without that filter or that third party mediator that's pushing all this fake narrative. Now they're seeing for themselves raw content of Trump.
And just so being hilarious.
Just being hilarious.
Being hilarious.
Right.
I wanna take a moment to just give, because we've gotten a couple of contributions come true. David coming through, keeping the show alive. David and Adam, we just thank you guys so much. You do so much for us. David writes, corn is pure evil. It's a weapon. It's a weapon used today. Yep. Anyone struggling with it, read the articles on 2002 and 2003 when Israel hijacked the airways so that the only TV Palestinians could watch was extreme corn. They said it was to weaken the men, making them easier to conquer. Wow.
And I genuinely believe them.
I didn't even know that that was a thing. Something that I am absolutely going to be looking into.
Well, that's why Arabs, that's why the Muslims don't allow porn. And they know that, right? So I've heard speeches of Arabs before. I don't know which, whether Saudi or whatever. But I've actually heard this from them alone. And on TikTok, I've seen the same commentary that David said about porn and why they have a ban and how it's a weapon and what happened with the whole thing with Israel, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, people labeling that as anti-Semitism. Now, we're not going to get into this discussion, but the original, the founders of, or the person that came up with the porn industry was actually Jewish.
Corn.
The corn industry is actually a Jewish person. And it's something that, you know, they don't really like to talk about because it dives into you're blaming Jewish people for everything that's wrong with society, but it's a historical fact. Like, you can literally look it up and back this up. It's not something that we're making up, at all.
Or just putting out. David sent in a second contribution. He says, I don't understand ideologies encouraging heterosexuals to have disdain for the opposite gender. Where is that supposed to take us? What's the goal? Also, ladies, if you do a vax show on Rumble, I will fly in on my dime to zoom in for that any day. I love that. Thanks, David. Yeah. We're definitely planning on that, and we'll definitely be having something soon. Yeah, you're right. It's an ideology that encourages men and women to dislike one another and creates this great division, which is actually back to where I believe this is all it, because you guys know that I'm the one with the conspiracy brain, you know, little Q-tard that the media likes to call me and slander me with. Here's the thing. You look at an article like the Gen Z loving Trump, you see this happening. You see that it is 68% of Gen Z loves Donald Trump. You know that this is happening. And you also see how with 68% of Gen Zers liking Donald Trump, then obviously that means that both men and women are identifying as conservative. So when has the Republican Party ever captured the young vote? This isn't normal. This isn't standard. This is a phenomenon that due to Donald Trump. So it's interesting to see this.
And may I add that they said that only DeSantis would be able to get that vote because he's younger. Don't forget when they told us. That was a narrative that was going on.
Don't forget when they told us. It seems to me that it couldn't be more clear that it is a psyop. Because, of course, you want to create this division. I've been talking about politics now online for quite a few years. And I had never seen this before. We had never seen this before. The party never made it a point to alienate women. In fact, quite the contrary, this was a party that celebrated their women. This was the party that used to say conservative women are hotter than conservative women. Harder than liberal women. Conservative women are born with no, you know, balls or whatever. Like, that's something that used to happen in our party. We used to, they used to celebrate women. And this was just the case up until 2 years ago. I would say up until the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and then something crazy started happening, which is they started putting Tate in the water once again, which brings me to our next contribution that I want to have a shout out. Don Chorizo writes, Tate is really CIA, can't trust no one. He kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah, he did come out of nowhere. Yeah. And he's openly talked about how his father was CIA.
Right.
He's openly talked about it. So, yeah, this smells wrong. This smells manipulated. This smells orchestrated. This smells like an end goal. And then when you watch Democrats, that they're getting ready to make the entire 2024 elections about women's rights, about the overturning of Roe v. Wade, about empowering women in general. And you watch the stark difference of women that are maybe women that are looking at the Democrat Party. And it's like, yeah, you're saying all that, but you're also telling me that men in skirts are girls. So maybe those girls are like, you know what? Let me look over to what the Republicans are doing. And then when they look over to us, we're the freak right. We're talking about we want to take your right to vote away. We don't want to see you dancing. Why are you baking cakes in a tight T-shirt? It's psychotic. It's unnatural. Mm-hmm. It's being developed to make people be turned off about our party. Top Dog, right? I'm 19, so I'm a Zoomer. But before he was president, I only knew Trump from his stuff with WWE.
Oh, that's who.
I love that. That's right. Is he? Because he was a pop culture icon.
Yeah.
Trump was an icon. He was in movies. You just knew who he was. You knew who he was. And might I add, it was him and Ivanka that were iconic, because Ivanka was an icon on her own because their divorce was so public and such a big deal. And her son was such a big Ivana. It was such a big deal. So to me, yeah, I feel like all of it is connected. I feel like the idea that men could be so triggered by young girls dancing at Mardi Gras fully dressed.
And then the questions that came, there was this one guy that had like an essay. Like, he wrote a whole essay about it. And he goes on to say, like, how many men will they sleep with? And, like, what were they doing? Would they consume drugs? And, like, it was this entire just questionnaire of these girls' lives, which is why I caught in the Pussy Patrol. And they get mad at me saying, like, oh, you're just loose. You just don't care. And I'm like, no, honestly, what it is to me is, like, who fucking cares? Like, the best thing that you can do, right, is raise your children to fear God and to, you know, for women and even for men too. Like, you don't want to teach men to just be sexually loose and sexually degenerate for many reasons. Leaving a girl pregnant, getting an STD, sharing his energy with the wrong people. So, you know, with us, like, I'll be honest with you guys, my friends and I partied so hard in college. Like, we, like, fraternity and sorority people party. You have mixers, you have field trips or whatever. Like, you do so much. You obviously have spring break. But the reality was that the women that were raised right, wearing, spreading their legs, having sex with all these frat men, it was women like us who were looking down at the sisters that were whores. In fact, nobody liked the whores. Nobody. The women were slut-shaming those women more than the men were. Why? Because it made our sorority look bad. So nobody wanted to have the chick that was going around giving blowjobs to all the fraternity boys. She would actually get kicked out of the sorority. And that was a fact. Like, that's just a fact. So to me, it's like, you know, if you actually knew Greek life and how women hold each other accountable based on reputation of that sorority. The same thing with the fraternity. You had the hotter guys versus the gaps at FIU and Pike, and you want to party with these, and these were the nerds, and these were that. That's how it was. These were the nice guys. Those are the guys that you want to marry. Like, you know, and so I just think to myself, like, what are women allowed to do? Like, what? Yeah. Obviously, no one's just gonna go from 16 and just be handed off to a man and get pregnant at 16 and just pop kids forever. Like, that's just not realistic for all of us. not every woman wants to do that. You know, that's just, it is what it is. So what are women allowed to do?
Women are not allowed to do anything. We're not allowed to have fun. We're not allowed to have traveled. We're not allowed to have Instagram. We're not allowed to, we can't even ask for faithful husbands because that's a problematic too.
That's true.
We can't even ask for faithful husbands. Linda, can you do me a favor? Yeah. I want to send you a quick link so that you can pull it up because you know that I'm not, you know, I'm banned.
What link?
Everywhere on Twitter. There's a gentleman in the chat that says that Tate is not CIA.
Well, who cares about this? So, do you want to really pull it up?
Yeah, I want you to. Well, if you could pull up the tweet and share your screen. Are you logged onto the StreamYard?
Yeah, I am. Uh huh. And share the tweet?
Share that tweet that I just sent to you, please. I just like, you know, because if you're going to call, if you're going to try us and you're going to say that we're misinforming, come down here. Go to share screen. And then it's going to let pick the Twitter one. There you are. There you are. What does that say? What does that say?
My dad was a chess genius CIA operative. My mother, a dinner lady. They had absolutely zero in common. Dad, she fed you boys healthy meals every day, cleaned the house, and was largely quiet. I loved her very much. That's literally all men want.
That's it. Like, that's all. I never agree, what we said was that there's CIA connections. I'm sorry, but I'm not. Nobody in my family, you can go back as far as you want. Nobody in my family is CIA. And when somebody seems to come out of nowhere, yes, he had been a fighter for quite some time, but Tate does seemingly come out of nowhere as far as his popularity goes. And yeah, it does seem inorganic. And yeah, it is a bit of a coincidence that his dad was also a CIA operative, Air Force, which is where most PSYOPs develop from. So, I mean,
by the way, Tate blocked us. He blocked me on X. I don't know why. I've actually... wasn't offensive. I didn't say anything rude because I know he blocks everybody and I didn't want to get blocked because I wanted to just watch his tweets because some of them I find hilarious. Some of them are obviously very cringe. But he blocked us and I think it's because when I was commenting on the, what is this guy that he had an interview with? The British guy?
Oh, the one that always has Pearl on.
Bill O'Reilly? No, that's not British.
No.
What's the British guy, guys? Can you, huh? No.
No, it's not Chris. It's Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan.
I was commenting on an interview, but I was actually talking about Piers Morgan being a liar. And I think Andrew Tate saw it because I guess he's paranoid and he like Googles his name to see like who talks about him. And then he fucking blocked me. And yeah, whatever. There's that. Mwah. It is what it is.
All right, guys. Last story of the day before we move on. Diddy is in trouble again. There is a current lawsuit against Diddy. Apparently, Cuba Gooding Jr. is mentioned
really?
In it.
I didn't see that.
It's what's this guy's name? Nicki's ex.
I don't know, but Meek Mill also.
But
the lawsuit basically alleges that this young man was sexually harassed by Diddy. And allegedly, Diddy was, like, touching his anus at some point. And here's the thing. So if you live in Miami and you partake in the party scene, depends on, like, the level of, like, connections that you have. Diddy has a house here and he's always throwing parties. I have never been to the parties, thank God. Because but I do know people that go, and for years everybody has talked about Diddy being a closeted gay man because he would get too messed up on all these drugs. He loved Molly's. He used to be best friends with Eric Murillo, who overdosed on I think it was like heroin a few years ago, and they found him dead. And so Diddy used to go to space with him and, like, get super messed up and all these drugs. And then, you know, according to his bodyguards and other people that have been part of his parties, it's like he'll get so messed up. All of a sudden, a gay man is, like, sucking him off. And, you know, that's that. And so this is something that, like, people in the industry have talked about. There's also rumors about Diddy had something to do with the murder of, obviously, Biggie, with the murder of Kim.
His ex-wife, Kim Porter.
That she was, like, writing a book, and all of a sudden she, like, passed that away. A healthy woman.
Yeah.
You know, who is was in her, like, what, like, 40s only?
In her 40s.
Like, I don't even think she was 50 years old. All of a sudden she passed away from, like, septic shock or something. And so there's a lot of rumors about Diddy, including the fact that he is in the closet. And, you know, I know that the Me Too movement kind of brought a lot of fake allegations from women, because I do believe that women weaponize the fact that they're women sometimes and, you know, will sleep with a man or something happens when they were too drunk and then they make up these allegations about men. I believe that for sure. But I also believe that there's all these men.
Damn. Someone said that there's rumors that he blew up Kid Cudi's car, too.
I've actually heard that. Yes. That, too. And don't forget that Kid Cudi was very, he was, like, really mentally ill at some point. And Cudi actually went in hiding for a while because he was, depressed.
Yeah.
And then he had this whole fallout with Kanye. And then Kanye, actually, in 2022... alluded to the fact that Diddy was a Fed. And when you think about it, Diddy has done so much, yet he's never, ever gotten in trouble. And again, the rumor is that he has everybody in his pockets, like investigators, prosecutors, the police, like everyone. And obviously, being Diddy,
they say that the Tory Lanez story, that supposedly that he was it? No, wait, I'm confusing him with, sorry, the other rapper mogul, Jay-Z, that's also up to no good.
Yes.
But
Diddy's up to no good.
But you know what? When I was younger, really, when I started getting into, like, conspiracies and stuff like that, because I'm, like, a second generational conspiracy theorist. My dad's into conspiracies. But one of the first things that I would get to is I used to follow this blogger. Don't ask me what her name is right now. I can't remember it. But I followed her for many years. And I used to pay to a blog that she had. And she was a former publicist in the hip-hop industry. Mm-hmm. And she would just share stories all the time. And one of the things that she would talk about was how prevalent, like, this, like, you know, Illuminati, like, the secret society, the entering these secret societies through, you know, the engaging in intercourse with people, how the same sex thing is something that's very big in hip hop, how just about everybody is turned out. I don't know how true any of that is, but I know that she definitely had the credentials to back up what it was that she was saying. And the reason why she had to hide behind this paywall on this blog is because all of her information would consistently, she would get targeted by these big moguls, and she used to consistently talk about all of the people that had been involved with P. Diddy. Usher is another one that's also rumored to have been involved
Justin
with
Bieber.
P. Diddy.
Justin Bieber,
Jamie Foxx. There's quite a few
and
people.
And don't forget that
no,
all
not
these
Jamie
people.
Foxx. I'm sorry, no. Not Jamie Foxx. Kevin Hart.
Well, the internet was going crazy. I wish I would have gotten some of the content on Twitter saying that Meek Mill, there's, like, very suspicious pictures. Like, there's a picture of him and Diddy, like, in matching outfits and stuff like that. It's, like, really funny. And Meek Mill was actually going back and forth with Andrew Tate. Did you see that? You're not allowed to be on Twitter. That's right. There was a post that Andrew Tate did that he said something like, well, Diddy was, or Meek Mill was sucking off Diddy. I don't know, something like that. And then he replied to Andrew Tate saying, what are you talking about? You're a human trafficker. And, like, that was, like, set off a, obviously, you know, back and forth. But if you guys type Meek Mill, I'm actually going to show you some of this stuff now that I know how to do this on StreamYard. If you actually, you can't. I have to log in. Never mind. If you actually just search Meek Mill on Twitter, you're going to see all the memes and all the stuff that's happening. It's so funny. We threatened to kill Undead Chronic. Why don't you just show it? Like, you're still here?
I can't believe that these people are still straggling through. Oh my these God.
Women's threatened to kill the incels really
get mad. You know, it's so crazy how these really strong men get so butthurt about the smallest things. Yay. But guys, drop some questions in the chat. We're so grateful that you guys were here with us on TikTok, on YouTube. Thank you guys. You know, we've been working on getting our viewership up and working on creating more content for you guys behind the scenes. So we're really excited about that. So ask us anything in the chat.
We'll stay here for a little bit.
We'll stay here for a few more minutes. And you can also ask us on TikTok. We'll also try and get to those questions.
I just don't understand how there's grown men on the internet just gossiping about women all day fucking long. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why you think fat shaming women is going to do anything. Thankfully for you, you don't have to sleep next to any of our fat asses. I don't get it. Don't you guys have like money to do or some Filipinas to like impregnate or something? Like, no, you can't like go make someone a little Filipino baby.
Someone said that Diddy feels like a distraction from major news. I don't know, bro. I don't know. Because I feel like that is major news. I feel like getting exposed. I feel like he's having his R. Kelly moment. The rumors about P. Diddy have been going around since I was a kid. Like, this is ongoing. Yeah,
I was in
like,
college.
I remember Biggie and Tupac's death, and people are like, it was definitely Diddy. So it's like, we've known about it for some while, and it seems like it's just finally coming to a head where it's like, oh, well, it's blowing up. I wouldn't say that it's a distraction. No. If it was a distraction, why not keep it going? I think the fact that when Cassie
this has been going on for
when
years.
Cassie filed her lawsuit
for years,
like that was a really big deal, and the fact that he made that go away like almost immediately within like a couple of hours, if you will, like that right there lets me know that he was definitely trying to hide something.
Star, I don't know who this is. She said, "When are you guys gonna confront Thor?" I don't know who that is. Glenn Lawrence, I don't know who that is. And more who push that same reduced women rights.
Who's
just
Thor?
drop in the chat who these people are. Are they YouTubers or Instagrammers? Or I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, I genuinely have no idea who these people are, but sure, like we don't have any problem calling them out.
The problem, oh, they're part of the Red Pill. I guess I'm gonna have to look them up and figure out who they are. You know, the problem with a lot of these red pillars as other commentators. And the reality is that there's a difference between people, and I'd say like Bella, like not really me, because I haven't been that politically involved lately at all when it comes to like local stuff. But she is like, that is her full-time job. Like she is an executive, executive director for the CDF. And so when you actually subtract yourself, right? Take away all the bullshit that you see on the daily, from the discourse on the gender discourse, the repeal of the 19th Amendment, the women are terrible, out of society is fighting because of women. When you actually start being a serious person that wants to understand politics, meaning polling, meaning legislator, you come to understand that in essence, the reason why we are where we are is really because nobody gives a shit about local politics and state politics. The turnout, you can pick any county in the U.S., so we'll choose Miami-Dade County. You have special elections every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You have local elections for your commissioners, your mayor, things like that people don't really think about, right? Yep. Do you know what we find? That only 13% of all registered people that can vote make it to the voting place on a off election. Now, how could you blame women or let's say, you know, or men, who cares? How could you blame any of the genders to say it's women who are the downfall of society when you don't even show up to vote in your county? And this is not a Miami thing. I mean, pick any county.
No, pick any
county. Pick Sacramento.
County.
Like, you can just pick any county in Alaska and then look at the voting and the data. And you're going to see that no one is showing up to vote. That is one problem. Do you know how many positions are open in counties that are not filled? Like, random, like, not commissioners
well, the,
are
the
always
the numbers
filled.
Is, the, there is over 50% of all elections ran in the United States. Now, remember, We're talking about city councils, water department, all of the different elections that you can have. Over 50% of those elections are won unopposed, meaning that nobody challenges whoever ran, and as a result, they win. In fact, there's a story out of Georgia in 2020 where a Satanist transgender ran as a Republican mayor in a town in Georgia and won. And the reason why they won is because it was a joke. They ran unopposed. Nobody else ran to oppose him in the Republican Party. And what did Republicans do? They went into the voting booth and they saw an R next to that person's name and they voted for that R. And the result was that this town in Georgia had a transgender Satanist Republican, wasn't really a Republican mayor, that ran to play off on the fact that more than 50% of all of this country's elections are ran completely unopposed. So why aren't men are supposed to lead society? Why don't I see men running for public office? You know, we did a lawsuit. We're not going to talk. I'm not going to talk too much about the details on it because it's still ongoing I'm not going to talk about the details of it, but just know that you couldn't even find a man who was willing to put their name on the lawsuit because they were scared that people would come after them. In fact, I hear it all the time. There's people that tell me, well, when I tell them, how come I only see women involved in activism? They'll tell me something like, well, men have real jobs and they're worried about getting doxxed. Sir, I lost my job as a result of being doxxed. I had a real job, but somehow speaking up for children was more important for me than that. And I understood that God would provide if something was taken away from me. So I'm sorry, but that's not a good enough excuse. The men are just not out there. And it's crazy because these are the same men that are saying that society is being lost to degeneracy. Well, guess where the degeneracy starts taking place? Within the schools. Mm-hmm. And when, Linda was involved in school board efforts, and she'll tell you, you walk into these school board efforts, and do you know who's opposing the books that are talking about, butt plugs and fisting? Do you know who's opposing that? Because it ain't men appalled that their young boys are listening to that. It's women. That admittingly that they are not the stronger gender. Mm-hmm. And as a result, wish that more men were involved, but they're not. In fact, the most upset, and I feel like it's finally, I could finally mention this. To me, it's actually insane that how disconnect, these men aren't willing to do anything to push their laws forward. One of the things, the conversations that comes up often is family courts.
And by the way, that a lot of the times when they say they want women to stop voting, it's for like the dumbest things, right? Like they'll just be like, the guy that when I said, I wouldn't like my man to watch the whatever podcast, and it had nothing to do with Brian or Chase or the men or anything at all that I don't know. They could be the nicest people in the world, and everything to do with the porn stars and the sex workers that are there, right? Like I saw a girl whose titties were literally hanging out. Like, why would I want my man to be sitting right across from that girl whose like tits are literally hanging out? And so the guy took it personal and he said, this is exactly why women shouldn't be allowed on the internet. Like, dude, it's not that serious. Like, now you just want women to be banned, no rights, you can't vote, you can't say, because you don't like a comment that I say on social media. I honestly know he's being facetious and trying to get a reaction on Twitter because that's what you do. But it's just like, that is, and you see it in our comments all the time on here on YouTube. We'll post a clip, we'll talk about it, and it's like, this is exactly what we need to repeal the 19th Amendment. And it's like, okay, well, you don't believe in democracy, you don't believe in freedom of speech, you don't believe in anything. I mean, you're very anti-American, right? Because the Bill of Rights and the Civil Rights protect everybody equally, gender and race. So I think, to answer, where is she? Hold on. Somebody asked, ladies, would you be willing to do a collab on this topic with another lady in the space on men's retraction from their importance in society? What does that mean? Retraction from their importance in society? I'm a moderator. Yeah, that'll be fine.
You can
email us. Our email's here, mostly peacefullatinas@gmail.com. You can DM me on Twitter.
I know that, and here's another thing that the RP, and I want to make this point because this is really important. A couple of months ago, Pearly Things got into a fight with Ian Smith. interesting enough, I'm sure that she didn't really understand who Ian Smith was. In 2020, this country was shut down. Many people opposed those shutdowns. Many people didn't necessarily buy the narrative. And people lost their jobs, their businesses closed down. And there was only a handful of men that stood up and fought back. And Ian was one of those people. So to see that there was one man of a handful of men, right? Because there was a handful of men all over the country. But we're not talking about a substantial amount. Enough where you can call them out by name today. And to see a movement that talks about masculinity and embracing men and all these other things, not pay attention to something like that, not look at that and be like, that's a masculine man, somebody who stood up to tyranny, who stood up against the government.
Right, Ian Smith had to sleep inside of his gym.
Correct.
Because the not the police, the state, the city, whatever, were going to literally seize his assets.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his wife had to move into the gym and able to protect that from the government coming after them. And he also accumulated thousands of dollars worth of fines and able to stay open. And so that is rebellion. That is correct. What the founding fathers intended. That is what masculinity is. Mm-hmm. And then here comes a woman who thinks she's like the arbitrary of who's a feminine woman. You know, one time she was like judging women's voices, right? How feminine it is.
What men should be into and what they shouldn't be into.
What men should say or not, right? Because that's how big her head has gotten. Is here to tell Ian Smith that he's not a masculine man simply because they disagreed on God knows what topic.
On marriage. On the topic of marriage women, and treating their right or something like that. And it's like, who are you to step back on a man like this? You want me to tell you how I know the RP is full of shit? I hope there's RP people in the chat right now. You want me to tell you how I know that the RP is full of shit? Because Ron DeSantis was a candidate for president, and not a single one of them pointed out that Ron DeSantis did a law change here in Florida just a couple of months ago to get rid of alimony.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know that the RP bros are not fucking serious, not even one slight bit. Because if they were serious about the stuff that mm-hmm. they talk about, why didn't they get behind DeSantis? This was just a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
DeSantis literally did away with alimony in the state of Florida. They could have supported DeSantis. I remember telling Linda, I'm like, I'm not going to mention it because if they mm-hmm. haven't realized it, I'm not about to like hype up DeSantis as a candidate to the RP space. Right. But Ron DeSantis did away with alimony and not a single person in the RP space talked about it. When they can't shut up about family court. You know what the most frustrating part about hearing men cry about family court? That the majority of you people online, of you men online crying about family court, haven't had to deal with it. Linda and I have had to deal with family court. I've had to deal with family court twice.
I've had to deal with family court.
I've had the family court weaponized against me twice. Had to give up our guns. Because of the family courts. So don't come and tell me that there's a problem with family courts. I'm aware that there's a problem with family courts. You know what's another problem for family courts? That you can be getting stalked. You can have somebody showing up at your house. You can have somebody doxing your information. And there's nothing that's going to be done because you have to take that through family court until somebody physically hurts you. So don't tell me that there's something wrong with family courts. I know that. I'm well aware. I'm a woman. There's things that are handled through family courts as well. And we've had to deal with it. The RP, the point is that the RP ain't serious because if it was serious, then they would advocate for actually changing the laws. And that's not something that they care to do.
Fred, I know earlier I can find a comment. You said that you were grateful that I exposed Donovan Sharp and that you think he has some good takes or fair criticisms. I don't know what content that is. Because the reality is that a lot of content that I've seen from Donovan Sharp, including what I saw when I was in Valuetainment in Saucecast, was him being an extremist, probably worse than a Taliban husband, where he tells his wife that she can't even go in the bathroom with a phone because you don't know who she's texting, and it's potentially that she could be texting other men. So I don't really see how he has good takes. He's a hurt man that was, I guess, finessed or scammed by a 19-year-old stripper back in the day who said that he would never date an older woman. His wife now is significantly older, as you've seen her. She's also dresses very immodest. Her cleavage was down to here for her wedding day. I don't know why anybody would do that as a woman.
And Pearl stood next to her and took a picture
with her. Pearl stood next to her to take a picture. So it's a walking contradiction. I would not say that he has fair balances. Why did he come after me on the podcast? I mean, he really had no reason to insult me. What it was is that he hates the fact that there are certain men out there who are wealthier and have resources and they don't mind spending it on women. And then somehow, some way, they make it seem like it's us women trying to change the market so that men have to spend more on you for a first date or second date. That's not the case. So I don't really see how he has any moderate or good takes. I think he's a fraud.
I think he is a fraud, which, you know, somebody asked here, would you guys debate Andrew Wilson or a red pillar? Yes and no. I wouldn't debate Andrew Wilson because I've already seen that he debates in bad faith and that, like, he'll mute people or he'll cut parts off. Yeah, he did it to Tree of Knowledge, to Tree of Logic. So I don't know necessarily about that debate. Yeah, we would debate red pillars. What we've always said is that, like, we wouldn't go on Fresh and Fit. And we wouldn't go on Fresh and Fit because they are, once again, very disrespectful. When they feel like somebody is making a point that could challenge them, they become very emotional. And as a result, they want to kick women out or they want to talk down or they're going to tell you, like, oh, shut the hell up. This is my show. You're on my platform. I'm giving you clout. And honestly, the reality is we are a small podcast and us going on their show, it would be them doing us a favor. And I don't want to owe that kind of favor to somebody like the Fresh and Fit guys.
Yeah, I mean, why would I give him a chance to talk on the show? Like, why? Like, the first thing that he said was that I was triggered. And then he made up this whole lie that I was triggered because I went out with a man who spent a lot of money on a date and I didn't get a ring. Like, he literally made all this up in his head. So when you make all this up in your head, and I know what it is, I'm an attractive woman and he doesn't like attractive women that can get resources, I can get treated better from men. He doesn't like that. So if you come after me and you say that, you know, I came after him. No, I didn't. All I said when he got triggered was, I don't know who this man is because I didn't. I don't know who watches his content. I don't. I guess you do now. And he didn't like that. And he started attacking me saying, oh, she's just triggered because she went on a date and she didn't get the ring, which, whatever the fuck that means. I could have dated the guy. He could have died. Maybe it was a first date, never went back. I mean, you really don't know the in and out.
Right.
But it's just a way to really just devalue you and make you somehow. It's weird because they have this whole thing against marriage. Yet if you're not married, they come after you. So it's like you're not married yourself. You don't want to get married because women are going to come after your resources. So why the fuck do you care if I'm married?
To me, it's just that the stories that he's talked about, he was a 30-something-year-old man when he fell for a 19-year-old stripper, single mom, who broke his heart, took his money. Mm-hmm. He went into debt, took money from his family and friends to, like, help. I'm sorry, if you're 30-something years old and you had to learn that a 19-year-old stripper, single mom, you had to go through that to understand women's real nature, then there is a problem with you. You might low-key be the R word. I'm low-key. I don't know what to tell you because you're 30-something. You're not a 19-year-old kid going through this. You're not a young kid in your 20s going through this. You're already 30-something years old and you're falling for a 19-year-old. So the problem is that a lot of the times it seems like these men don't practice what they preach. So to me, the reason why Donovan, and I've actually listened to Donovan's content. When Linda was on Saucecast, I told her, I know exactly who this guy is. And I told her, he doesn't practice any of his of what it is that he preaches. His wife or girlfriend at the time was significantly older. She's also a single mom, all of these other things. And then you look at his history. And also, at least Tate has money and is successful. There's nothing that Donovan Sharp is doing that puts him in a caliber of person where I'm like, wow, like, that at least I want to talk to him about, like, business or, like, that's a good thing about him. Like, he's just a really hateful person towards women, period. And I think that a lot of it has to do with warning men about the worst kind of women and then kind of painting all women with that wide brush.
But comment right here, you shouldn't be pouring out your wallet for women or anybody in general to be a white knight. Yeah, again, you have to date within your range, right?
You're right.
So, like, if, like, you can't compare yourself to somebody at Don Jr.'s level, right? Where maybe on the first day with Kimberly Guilfoyle, he's the son of a billionaire. He's able to send a car for her, and he's able to have 100 roses, right, and maybe the best restaurant in Palm Beach that's worth $500. And maybe it's a second date. He's going to take her on a helicopter ride. Like, you can't compare yourself to people at that level. So there's like this, and then you go down, and you go down, and you go down. So if you can only afford to take a woman to Flanagan's on the first date and she's okay with that, then that's great. If you can afford to take a woman, like, it really, it's all on the man. Like, I've never seen a woman be like, oh, on the first date, you have to take me to Prime 112. Or, I mean, at least I don't know those women. My girls are not like that. And, or you gotta take me on a helicopter ride, and then you have to take me to Italy. Like, are there women like that? Probably escorts, for the most part, I'd say, right? They have, like, higher expectations because that's what they do.
Yep.
But there are men out there, I promise you, that will buy you a bag on the first date without you having to sleep with them. There's men out there that will send a badass car to pick you up. And it's just like, do rich men not exist?
Yeah, like, and what gives you or anybody else the right to judge those men based off what's in their means to do? Like, the equivalent of a $10 date to you might be a $1,000 date to another man that doesn't, right, that has the resources to do it. So when did we become, again, the American Taliban, yeah, when did we become like, the RP become like this communist space where you're watching other men's wallet and what they're spending? Right. Each, I would I never advocate why. For a man spending outside of his means.
Right.
Let me say this one thing, which is one of the reasons why I think that the RP is full of shit, because I think that it places unrealistic pressure on young men, telling them that they need to be the sole providers in a household during the worst economic times that this country has ever seen. So if you really want to talk about not opening up your wallets and being white knights, why are you guys advocating for an ideology that tells women that they're only worth something if they're at home baking sourdough bread? And why are you telling men during, once again, the worst economic time that our country has ever seen, that the only way that they have value is if they're able to be the sole providers and maintain a house? That's financial abuse.
I don't know why this guy is so mad. He's like, Donovan has money and is successful. No, he doesn't have money. He's not successful. That's a lie. You don't have $300 million Andrew Tate money to be considered as such. And who said we had money like Andrew Tate? Like,
I mean, I don't understand. Again, those people usually,
I don't get it.
You guys realize that, like, rich people usually date other rich people.
Yeah.
Famous people usually date other people.
That's why Don Jr.
is with somebody involved in politics that has a history in the public eye, in the politics, because the RP never wants to talk about compatibility. People are going to date within their means. And usually, if you are a billionaire, guess what? Yeah. You're not in the same clubs that people are at. You're not doing the same activities that regular broke people are at. They're not in the dive bars that we are at. Or broke nobody. Guess what? They're in restaurants in Palm Beach. And there's other women there that have money, that are old money, that come from money, that have been come from money, that don't know anything else except coming from. They don't need to marry a guy for money because they come from money. And those people tend to find each other and marry each other. And that's the reality of the majority of people. Right. It's not realistic.
I think this comment here by Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good to see you here. She's one of our followers on Twitter, and I love her post. We share a lot of the same thoughts. She says, Fred, that's not true of most women. It's just social media. Men want the Instagram chicks, so they cry and seethe about them. Actually, that's factually true, and I'm so glad you said that. And I posted a video that went viral, and obviously you had some haters, some lovers, some everything. And the video was of Latina women who are married. Latina, what you would consider traditional wife, who are married to blue-collar workers, right? So construction workers, dwellers, plumbers, and their TikToks are going viral because they wake up very early to cook their husbands full-on badass Mexican meals, right? And you had reactions from women saying, I would never do that. I would just pack my husband lunch from the night before. You had men saying, oh, that they're just doing it for the gram or whatnot, right, and stuff like that. And so these are women that are dating an average Joe, right? Like, how, if you guys say that all these, and they're very pretty girls, like, cute girls, young girls, married, taking pride in waking up. The video that I posted, the girl woke up at 2:40 a.m. to cook for her husband, probably because he has to be there out by like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. He has to be out of the
house by 5 in the morning to be at the work site by 6.
Drive an hour, and then, you know, they just have this construction work for plenty of hours. And so I don't understand how these Mexican men who aren't Andrew Tate rich or famous YouTubers, they're just blue-collar workers, are able to get these women.
If what the red pill says is true.
Are able to get these Latino wives to wake up at 3 a.m. And I saw some other ones that, like, are cooking for my dad. It was super cute. It was a girl cooking for her, like, construction worker dad. And they're able to get these girls to do that for them. But you guys think that it's only want to go for the baddies. That's really the problem. You guys only want to go for the baddies. Well, you see the girl on Instagram, you know what it is? And she's got the fattest ass, and she has a million followers, and that's who you want.
Let me explain to you why that is, and we've had this discussion before. To men, women are a commodity. And right. The same way that men feel some kind of status symbol when they have a Rolex on their arm or when they're driving a foreign vehicle, it's the same way when you have a woman that's so unbelievably attractive that every man wants her. Mm. That's also a status symbol. So every man covets that kind of girl.
Right.
And it's traditional value. Okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But don't tell us that we're crazy when you look into the profiles of those girls and they're filled with thousands upon thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of likes and followers. Mm. And it's for a reason. It's not other women. It's that men do, in fact, like that. They do, in fact, see it as a status symbol when there are men. And the problem is that there's a lot of men that they want that girl, that Instagram baddie girl, to also be the virgin, the homemaker, the whatever. And it's just, it doesn't work that way. And that's a reality check, you know what, to also the women. I've seen all the videos where you see, like, either, like, a heavyset girl or a girl that's maybe just not, you know, it's unbelievably attractive saying, I want a guy that's 6 foot something and he needs to be making millions of dollars and saying something ridiculous. Like, bro, people just need to humble themselves like their moms and their dads did. People need to humble themselves when it comes to dating and date within your range.
Yeah.
Date within people that looks max one another. Like, is this person too attractive for you? Are you too attractive for that person? Like, those things do matter.
Right.
With your Somebody rich, said, how can point? I get my Latina girlfriend to stop abusing me?
If you're rich, what is the point of spending all that money for one person? Because you're rich and you don't care. It's the same point. Like, what is the point of money? Wait, hold on. What is the point of having 3 cars? What's the point of Andrew Tate having ten cars? What's the point of having 3 Rolexes? What's the point of Cristiano Ronaldo's girl having a whole wall full of Hermes, each one worth over $20,000? It's fucking rich people, dude. Like, you live in a capitalist society. I don't know what to tell you. Like, we are not advocating for you to spend your resources on women. Let me repeat that again. We are not advocating and will never advocate for men to spend their resources on women. But there are different class statuses, socioeconomic class statuses. It is that simple. You're not going to stop rich men from flexing their money if they feel like it. Okay? We live in Miami. We see it all the time. All the time. They take you out on the yacht. They do this. They do that. They got the house in Bimini. You can drive to literally 2 hours away, rich people have houses in the most beautiful island in the Bahamas. What are you going to do? Like, punish rich men for wanting to do that? Like,
think that, like, every rich man just wants to sleep around? You know, there's, like, a lot of rich guys that just want to get married and share their life with somebody. And, like, what are they supposed to do? Change the way that they live their life because they're dating somebody that has less money? No. Like, shoot, in my early 20s, I dated men that were broke and I made more money than them and I didn't mind, like, paying for things. So what, because you want to maintain your lifestyle. Right. Like, what do you think, that guy is going to, like, change their lifestyle? Because it's like, oh, well, this girl doesn't have as much money as me. So let me just test her out for a while and take her to have a frita, el rey de la frita y un batido de mame, and see if that keeps her happy. Like, it's...
Some of my friends that are married, I have some friends of mine, my friend that she converted to Judaism for her husband. Their first date was at the Kava bar that doesn't exist anymore, so we can say. Their first date is at a Kava bar. The it's like a tea. I'm not going to go into it, whatever. But the drinks are like $20, and then they rollerbladed. They're married now. That was their first date. Their first date, he probably paid $40-$50 between both of them getting drinks at a Kava bar on South Beach, and then they went rollerblading, and I don't know what their second or third date was. But the point is that they're married now, right? And so it's not about you having to use all your resources and having to go broke to show a girl a good time. But there is statuses. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It just is what it is. Like, I can't afford to go buy a Chanel bag right now, but some of my friends can. And it's just like, you may think to yourself, why would anybody buy a $10,000 bag? Because they can.
They are asking, actually. Somebody said, "Why? What's the point of women buying $300 bags?
Well, there's 300. I mean,
300K bags. 300K. 300K, he said.
Because they can.
Because we live in a consumerism society.
Yeah.
And that's the way that it is. It's for the same reason that people get a new iPhone every other year. What do broke people do? Like, what do you think? Like, you're not out there saving your little money so you can get yourself your nice little Jordans and the new iPhone. You can have your nice little Apple Watch. Maybe you drive a little Tesla. Like, everybody's trying to do what it is that they are. We live in a consumerist society. If you don't like it, move to the woods. That's, you
Joe,
know?
Just want to give a shout out to Joe, our friend, with the contribution. He says, conversation men need to stop being so emotionally driven and need to be strong through love and patience for our families. I know Joe personally. He's a great man. He has a great wife. He has a beautiful daughter. And this is one of the most hardworking individuals that you'll ever meet, working around the clock all day, every day, serving people for who? For his family, for his daughter, just got a second home. Like, there is men out there winning at life, and you don't need to be a billionaire. I also want to read this comment from a girl, Rafaela Moreno. She says, cuando me levanto, when I wake up, I do make my hardworking blue-collar man a good meal.
I love
good
that.
For you. Keep that going. We love
I take my blue-collar husband's work boots off every single day when he gets home from work.
By the way, Joey, you're going to fail at life if you think that you're not going to have to spend any money on women. If a woman really loves you, well, the woman doesn't love you because she hasn't met you.
Yeah,
you
but what do you, but again, it's a crap ton of money you to know, you. It's what you what consider it money. It's what you consider a crap ton for money. It's not about
this
that.
Comment. Girls, as you were saying, I'm really packing my husband's meal, atún con arroz and other snacks. Good for you. My hubby is a pullman and makes six figures and I work too. Love that.
Modern woman. I love that. Modern women doing modern women things. Cooking dinner for her husband and she's going to work too.
Look at this. I live in a wealthy area and even women around here are reasonable people, but I can't speak for everybody else. I saw another comment. The IG baddies aren't that hot at all. I wouldn't let three quarters near them backstage at a concert if I were in the 90s. Okay, sure. Whatever that means. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. You gotta
somebody's
pay. Okay,
well. Saying lies. Rich people don't buy expensive things.
Okay,
bro,
sure.
Come on, bro. Don't say, of course they buy expensive things. What do you think? That because Steve Jobs wore the same black t-shirt every single day, that it was like a Hanes black t-shirt and that he wasn't buying money on his gadgets and his bullshit? Of course he was. Rich people do spend money. Well, rich people don't need to show off their money. Maybe they're not getting the Fendi bag with all of the F's or anything on it. But yeah, they're spending their money on nice things that they like.
I have a friend of mine.
Look at Dave Portnoy. Linda posted it the other day. Don't tell me money can't buy happiness.
Yeah,
look at Miss Peaches.
Look at
Miss Peaches. Went from the shelter to Carbone.
Literally.
From the
PJ.
Shelter to
she
Carbone.
She was rescued on a PJ.
On a private jet, she went home. Money can buy happiness, of course. But I also understand that the majority of us will never be rich. I got to be okay with, like, the nice life that you can build for yourself. Up to now, there's no need to, like, cry so much. It's okay. What's $10 for you, I promise you. There's girls within your price range.
I have a very wealthy friend of mine who pays $16,000 for an ocean view apartment in Miami that she only sees, like, 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Rich people are going to do what rich people are going to do.
I want to address Joey. Thank you for putting all these comments. So Joey wrote in the chat, he's like, yeah, that's pretty pathetic that you got to pay a girl to go on your boat or party. You shouldn't have to spend money to hang out with someone. Can I tell you that a lot of those guys that pay for those girls to go on those boats do it for privacy reasons? They usually go through an agency that sends in the girls.
Leo DiCaprio does
that. That send in the girls so that they don't have to worry about meeting chicks, finding out if they're actually drug addicts or anything. Mm-hmm. They make a phone call to the agency because it's easier. Because once again, women are a great commodity, and what's a boat without hot bitches in it? So what do? They call the agency. The agency runs the filter. They already know which girl, which models to send, and they send the girls to have a good time on the boat. That's how it really happens. So to you, you're like, you're thinking it's pathetic, but to these men with a lot of money, it's a convenience thing, and they can pay for convenience. That's like asking, why would anybody pay somebody to walk their dog? Well, walking your dog is actually a pretty easy thing, but maybe you've got enough money to pay somebody to do it for you.
Real quick story before we go, because I want to make sure that, you know, I know some of you guys, the men, are not going to like the story, but we have to be, we just got to just be realistic here for a second. I want to show you guys this. Okay. So back in the day, I don't know if you guys, do you guys know who Alex Earl is? She's a famous influencer. Alex Earl. Anybody? Put one in the chat if you know who Alex Earl is. No? Anybody? Okay. Well, Alex Earl is one of the most famous influencers on TikTok right now. She's probably the biggest influencer. She's like 22 years old. She went to the University of Miami. She got really famous for on TikTok for being very real. You can look her up later. Millions and millions of followers. Anyways, all that to say that Alex Earl, she comes from a wealthy family in New Jersey. Her dad actually married an escort. So if you guys
she's
don't know...
She's the highest paid influencer on TikTok, right? Alex Earl?
Yeah. So I want to... this right here, this is an article from 2015. Elliot Spritzer's former call girl is now a stay-at-home mom. So when she was 22 years old, Ashley Earl... she used to be known as Ashley Dupree. She was an escort, and she was a high-end escort. And she was part of a scandal with the governor of New York. Back then, it was Elliot Spitzer, because that was the call girl that he would always get. Why is that? Because these men are busy, because they need secrecy, because there are public figures. If you're a governor, if you're a mayor, if you're president, whatever it is, you obviously... can't have everybody knowing the chicks that you're having sex with on the side. And so Ashley Dupree, now known as Alex Earl, used to be that girl. So for those of you who say that, you know, ran through whores don't get the ring, they don't get married, they don't get high value men. Well, she did, right? As many of them do. Why is that? Because a lot of these rich, older men don't care. They're busy. They're working, and if an escort simplifies their life and they like her and they have good chemistry and the chicks make him feel good, then that is exactly what's going to happen. So you don't have to like it. It's not a reality that I like. It's not something that I'm pushing women to do. I'm not advocating on it. But the reality is that there are men like that. Now, you can go see this girl. You can actually go follow her on TikTok, Ashley Earl. She has a lot of followers. She lives a fabulous life, married to a very, very wealthy man. They go on their yachts. They have now three children together. And she is who? A former escort. And just like this, there are many, many, many such cases. The reality is, it's just like Lisa says, it really isn't about body count, right? And again, I don't want to say this because I want to encourage women to sleep around. I want to say this based on reality. Because if a chick is hot enough, like Nina Agdal with Jake Paul, if she has the looks, if she has the personality, and if she makes these rich men feel good, she's going to probably get the ring. And I think I told you guys last week or the week before that I personally saw an appraisal for an engagement ring of also a high-paid escort, $200,000. I mean, I just, you know. And you guys can call Sims. You guys can say this. You guys can call them Sims. You can call Jake Paul. What's his name? Jake Paul. But it's not Jake Paul. It was Logan Paul. Who married Nina Agdal. You can call him simps. You can call him degenerates. You can say that they're going to get divorced. I mean, whatever bullshit that you want to say. But the reality is that this goes back to ages, right? I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. And this will be... We got to go now. We've been at this for a while.
TikTok is loving it, by the way.
We... I want to tell the story of Queen Elizabeth. Do you know why Queen Elizabeth
had
to become Queen Elizabeth, despite the fact that she was not the next person in the lineage for the throne? It was actually her uncle who was supposed to be the king after her father passed away. But the reason why Queen Elizabeth had to step up was because her uncle fell in love with what I like to call peasant pussy. And this man wasn't supposed to marry a peasant. He was supposed to, or a whore, actually, is what he was.
She was divorced.
She was a divorced woman. Imagine back then, I mean, this were like 19, what? I mean, Queen Elizabeth was even around for the Holocaust, and that was like the 1930s. So
he gave up his position. The future king of England gave up his position so that he could be with a woman that was considered not wholesome by the royal family. And then the contrast is that you also have a current King Charles that had his virgin bride, and he wanted nothing to do with her because he wanted the divorced and, you know, ran through the syllables. Yeah. I'm having so much. Listen, the TikTok is pumping, guys. Thank you so much for coming out and hanging out. We got up to like 70 something today. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today in the chat. Kyle has a lot to say. He says that we're gossipers. What else did he say? He's just been going on. He's like, you two are just gossipers. He says, you're listening to a 22-year-old, because he said we were going to talk about Alex Earl. He's just, you know, it's nice to know that we've got Kyle's on the chat. Yeah. It seems like we've got a couple of Undead Chronics fans on the chat too, interacting with us.
Nice.
Let's go over this last couple of contributions that came in.
There's only one.
Did we read this one? Yeah. The JoJo? Okay. So Alejandra writes, girls, you've been missed. Porfa, sigan hablando de relaciones internacionales. Would love to hear your thoughts on Argentina. Yes, maybe we're overdue on some Latin American coverage.
I think the Argentina situation is interesting because Americans, and especially on the right, they have a lot of judgment of Milei for like getting the vaccine or being like super pro-Jewish or whatever, or Israel. And the reality is that anything, it's better than what Argentina used to have before. And so one of my best friends, actually, she's dating an Argentinian man, and they just came back from Argentina. They spent New Year's there. And before they left, they're both liberals. Let me just put that out there. Before they left, she was pretty much saying how, you know, her boyfriend was very against the new president and how they didn't know how he was going to be and all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. She comes back, and I asked her, I said, hey, what insight did you get from Argentina? Are the people happy? How are they responding to Milei? And what she had to say kind of shocked me. I guess she changed her mind because people there have been struggling for a few years. And she's like, you know, one thing that we were told by my boyfriend's family is that the teachers were always paid they had really shitty salaries. I forgot what she said. And they never cared because the teachers were on the side of the left. But the minute that the government changed, Milei came into power, now all of a sudden there's protests, despite the fact that they have been getting paid the same salary for years. But of course, the government changes, so then they have to go and they have to protest and they have to make up this whole thing and be dramatic and whatnot. So I think even people like my friend who are considered like Democrats, like center left, I can't even say anything negative about what's going on in Argentina because the left wing government was like so much worse. So that's what I have to say. And Alex, good to see you back. Are people on the right extremists if they don't like the vaccines? Not that they're extremists, or I guess I'd say that maybe. It's not necessarily that they're extremists, but they seem to think that if somebody gets the vax, then they're not on the right side of things. And something that I explain to people is that you have to look at things like culturally, right? So these Latinos, especially Latinos and South Americans, they're hypochondriacs. They're hypochondriacs. Like, They believe in science. They believe in vaccines. They actually look at vaccines as like an American, what do you say, like a, not an American, yeah, like an American invention. And so it's not.
Well, they're also very law abiding.
They're also exactly.
So the rules are that you had to get the shot. And so as a result, they didn't question it because it was what, if you didn't, you weren't going to be able to go to work. So it's like, well, the government asked us to do it and they trust it. So,
yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming through today. And we are very grateful that you're all here. Obviously, we do this as a hobby, like once a week, but we've been growing on YouTube and we're trying to get in another algorithm so we can go back to our regular viewership when it's live. But we will be back next week. And if you missed some of it, I'll be here and you can start it over again for those of you who came late. And that is all for today. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week.
See you guys next week. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our content, guys. Have a good night. Bye.